WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Fort Stewart in Georgia was under lockdown earlier today. Five soldiers were shot. The alleged shooter is in custody. Reporter Madeline Bierster outside the base.
Official word that the gates have all since been reopened. They have been given the all clear. Traffic is flowing in and out as normal from the base.
CBS's Chanel Call.
The Army had advised people that were on the base to stay inside, to close and to lock their doors and the windows before the shooter was apprehended.
We don't know the condition of the injured soldiers, though two were transported to a trauma hospital in Savannah. Former FBI agent Tim Gallagher says they would have had good care.
When we're training people how to react to an active shooter, we're like talking about that first aid, you know, that stopped the bleed. On a military base, people in that room would have been trained in that. So the initial triage that was handled on site, the initial aid that was given, none better.
The suspect is a male Army sergeant. CBS News Special Report, I'm Cammie McCormick.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. There's still time to get into the water this summer for some swimming fun, but with an estimated 4,000 fatal drownings that happen each year in the U.S., it's important to understand that drowning doesn't look like you think it does.
It doesn't look like what we see on television or in the movies or even on the cartoons. It's really a silent action.
That's Michael Fraley, trauma registrar at Aspirus Health and team leader of the Oneida County Public Safety Dive Team. He says a drowning person likely won't be able to yell or wave for help.
They can't breathe, so they can't make noise. So they're not going to be screaming like we think that they are.
Fraley explains that a person who is drowning is usually in an upright position, but not able to keep their head high enough to keep their mouth above the water.
The most that you probably notice was that the person's just not connected to anything. You know, they may be looking in the wrong direction. They don't seem like they're focused on anything. Maybe their eyes are closed. Maybe their head is tilted back, trying to gasp for air, but they're not able to interact or even really kind of understand what's going on.
It's important to act quickly when someone is in distress. Fraley says you only have about 20 to 60 seconds before they slip underneath the water, but it's also important to not put yourself at risk.
You don't want to get, you know, too close to the person so that they grab onto you and pull you down. You want to try and get behind them. First and foremost, you want to go out there with some sort of a device that they can grab onto instead of grabbing onto you.
Acting quickly can help prevent a tragedy, but the rescuer shouldn't put themselves at risk. Public beaches and pools usually have designated rescue equipment. Knowing where rescue aids are located can help save valuable time in a drowning emergency. And knowing what to look for and how quickly drowning can happen can help save lives. I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO News.
Brewer baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Brewers take on the Braves for game three of their series in Atlanta. The Brewers with a 7-2 victory last night, their fifth win in a row. Pat Murphy.
You really have to be disciplined right now. More than ever before, we got to be disciplined. It's how we play and the mindset we're in when we play, because circumstances say ball could have bounced the other way and we're not, those numbers aren't there. You know, you have to just be consistent in how you prepare and be attached to your process, not your results.
NFL, he's slated to be their starting defensive back to replace Jair Alexander, but Nate Hobbs will miss all of the preseason games after having knee surgery over the weekend. It happened last Thursday in practice.
I'm just happy that it wasn't nothing more serious.
Was it meniscus?
It was a meniscus.
Okay, and right knee, I assume.
Right knee, yes, sir. I'm committed, as I say I am.
That's Packers defensive back Nate Hobbs with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
More clouds than sunshine today, and chances for scattered drizzle. As a warm front pushes through the state, we become warm and muggy. Highs today scrape about 80 degrees, and tomorrow rise to the mid-80s. More showers and thunderstorms are expected overnight, with waves of them tomorrow, too. I'm meteorologist Brittany Rouleau. Right now, 78 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow
It's fun to look back and laugh now.
That was a bad day.
Their marriages that have died on less. Our first actual fight as a married couple was about the house rules of playing Monopoly. We've not really played Monopoly since. When you can modify an app, you can modify the rules of the game. Maybe there are times when you are better off just playing the computer. Play something else with your spouse instead.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt and Air on Air.
I have a baby bird stuck in a birdhouse.
Its head is stuck.
Terry on the text line says, if you can detach the birdhouse and bring it to Ace Hardware, they can help get the bird out?
Really? Richard from Waukesha, you get the last word on this.
I like the idea of the Ace Hardware.
Yep.
But some advice is don't let them talk you into a remodeled bathroom.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yes.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
President Trump claims it is common practice to move a convicted sex offender to Club Fed. Is that accurate? Jim Santel will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
On location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board back at the World Headquarters in downtown Madison, Wisconsin. We are live on location at the Black River Beach Neighborhood Center, right on the shores of the Black River, which are the backwaters to the Mississippi here in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Welcome, everyone, to hour number two of the program. It is Wednesday, the 6th of August, 2025. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
Pump Day!
There you go. The camel made it in the back of the truck all the way here to beautiful La Crosse, Wisconsin, right on the western side of the state. It's a beautiful day here. Perhaps you can hear in the background the cicadas. They're horny. I'm not sure. Is that
very
what it means,
so.
Zommers? When they're singing so loudly, they're in heat or they're
yes.
breeding, they're mating?
Yes, that is my understanding. And actually, if you want to attract them, all you got to do is make some clicking noises. Like if you start snapping, they'll just fly and start landing on you. Yeah.
Really? I wish it were that easy. That's all you got to do is click. All right, well, we'll see. We'll see if we can keep the horny cicadas at bay here in hour number two. Joining us all the way from the European continent, we'll say, and across the pond in a secure, undisclosed location. He is the senior advisor of the Lincoln Project, a River Falls boy just up the road here in western Wisconsin. And we love to have him along on Wednesdays, Mr. Trigvi Olson. Trigvi, did you have a lot of cicadas? Do you remember, like, I'm growing up, I don't remember a lot of cicadas in Richland Center. Did you guys have a lot of cicadas in River Falls?
Never until I got to D.C. There's a gajillion of them in Arlington.
Yeah, I didn't really have them in Manitowoc
they
either.
They make a racket.
Really?
App.
Yeah, they're you could probably hear them over the mic here a little bit, but yep. They're loud. We'll push on here. Glad to be here. We are here covering the Leader Ethics event on fusion voting. If you missed the seminar proper, you can go to leaderethics.us, leaderethics.us. We thank Lee Roche of Leader Ethics. He's also the former president of the Great Western Technical College here in the western part of the state, La Crosse being the center of it. And also thanks to my former boss, former State Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz, the co-chair of United Wisconsin, which is also a co-sponsor of today's forum, and also a former Democratic Dane County Sheriff, Dave Mahoney, who is also part of the co-chair of United Wisconsin as well. And a special shout out to the wonderful and talented Christine Dininger Andrews. Nobody more talented than Chris Andrews getting it done, helping coordinate all this. She is the executive director of United Wisconsin. And Trigvi Olson is also a part of United Wisconsin as well. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, we'll be joined by Brian Van Hooker of Cracked.com with a retrospective piece on King of the Hill, an animated series from, what, the late 90s or I guess maybe 2000s? Did you watch that, Trigby, King of the Hill ever? Yeah, I've saw a couple, three episodes. Dahmer, were you a fan of King of the Hill?
Yeah, it's very good, in my opinion. And it's just about...
It's not still on, though, right?
That's the thing. It wasn't. It ended in, 2010-ish, maybe a little later than that. But now they are making new episodes, which I imagine is why we're like talking about it more now. Yeah.
All right. Very good. Well, see, that's why we got the young people like Zomers around. That's fantastic. All right. So Van Hooker is coming up at the bottom of the hour. We're going to get to what's worse in a minute. But Trigby, I know how much you enjoy your adoring public. And so listening in the first hour here was Steve in Milwaukee, listening on WAUK. Steve says, hey, Trigby, you need to get more progressive. Neoliberalism is killing the middle class. any retort, any response, Trigby?
No, I'm just going to let Steve have at me.
All right, Steve can have that one. All right, very good. Before we do what's worse, Trigby, I did want to get to one more.
I keep waiting for Scott and Wauwatosa to write me, but he never does.
Did you? I was disappointed that you didn't pick up on my tweet from over the weekend on that subject. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. I don't go on Twitter anymore.
I know. Is it because of Elon, or you just don't like it, or what?
Yeah, I do. I post my Substack stuff on Blue Sky, which is equally challenging. I don't know. I just haven't.
He's got other things. He's got other things going on. He's got other fires in the kitchen to put out. Here, I want to ask you about a couple of things on the serious side, or semi-serious. Speaking of your old friend, the former governor. So former governor Scott Walker, he's still trying to be relevant out there. And after what's happened down in Texas with Governor Abbott, Republican, genuflecting politically to Donald Trump, Trump asked him, he did say, I need five more Republican House Representative seats out of Texas. So Abbott is trying to bring the legislature back in a special session in Texas and redraw the lines. This is outside of the normal 10-year redraw based on censuses, and wants to help Trump out. So Scott Walker... And, of course, the Democrats, many of them the legislature in Texas, have fled to Illinois, much like some of the or all of the Senate Democrats did in the Wisconsin State Senate during Act 10 to temporarily block Scott Walker's atrocious Act 10 bill, in my opinion, which decimated public unions, in particular public education. So Walker tweets out over the weekend, when 14 Senate Democrats fled Wisconsin to Illinois in an attempt to block our positive reforms, we held on one and stayed strong. After our victory, Sean Duffy and his wife gave me an amazing bumper sticker that's a good reminder to hang in there. And he posts the bumper sticker, and it says, one Walker defeats 14 runners. Ha ha. So I tweeted back at the governor. I said, and yet, Governor Scott, @Scott Walker, when you walked into the closed Senate Republican caucus and unveiled your secret plan, I was in the room, many GOP senators were not only shocked but repulsed. Only my former boss, @DaleSchultz17, had the balls to stand up to you and in word and vote, correctly predicting, quote, what we are about to do here is create two school systems, one for the haves and one for the have-nots, unquote. More importantly, Dale spoke for the overwhelming majority of his district after holding countless public meetings listening to thousands of his constituents in southwest Wisconsin. He also maintained a lot of communication with Senate Dems, trying for a bipartisan compromise. Finally, you, Governor, and Mike Hipsch tricked Dale into coming into your office so Fitz, i.e. Scott Fitzgerald, could call for the vote to split the bill and pass it. The Democrats ultimately bought time to expose your scheme, which brought 100,000 people to the Capitol in protest and eventually led to @Governor Evers defeating you. Why? Because, as our mutual friend @Trigby Olson is fond of saying, quote, Scott never learned the lesson that Governor Tommy Thompson taught me. There's two kinds of politicians, those that want to do things and those that want to be. And Scott just wants to be. Nothing's really changed since we went to Badger Boy State together when he was running for president back then, unquote. Ultimately, Scott, you didn't defeat anyone or anything except for your dreams and opportunities of our public schools and your own personal ambitions to actually be someone.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Tom.
You like that? Yeah.
Yeah, really good.
I would call that
scathing. I didn't misrepresent you there.
No, you didn't misrepresent me. I mean, honestly, whatever, Scott.
We have an ongoing kind of funny thing with Scott Walker. But the more important point is this redistricting, Trigvi. What are your thoughts on this? J.B. Pritzker, the hot commodity on the Dem side right now. Everybody loves J.B. Pritzker, the Democratic governor of Illinois. He was on Stephen Colbert last night on The Late Show. And Colbert had a map of Illinois' congressional maps. And he held it up. And I believe I could dial it up, but I think Illinois has two of the top five most gerrymandered districts in the country on the Democratics, all in total, but they happen to be on the Democratic side. And instead of Pritzker owning that and being like, hey, look, we have work to do in our state as well, and I'm pledging to do that in Illinois to make fairer maps, and then go on to attack Abbott and Republicans in Texas, he tried to make some joke about it, saying, yeah, you know, in Illinois, we just give our maps to kindergartners and they draw it. But what's happening in Texas is so much worse. I think Pritzker is a terrible representative for this issue, Trigvi. I think by not acknowledging the Democrats have done partisan gerrymandering as well makes him unqualified to be the spokesperson on this.
I would agree with that. I mean, I didn't see what he said when he said it. But at the end of the day, this is just a sad moment for the United States, right? Like, I mean, it's just guys storm beaches at Normandy for us to have a normal process, and then we're a generation that's decided to act like we're some third world banana republic. And that's, you know, what Donald Trump is doing. The bottom line is Donald Trump is at 39% approval. Just go out and beat him. I mean, yeah, they're going to try and rig the maps. The bottom line is Donald Trump's going to try and do everything he can to not hand over power to a Democrat Congress. The easiest way to beat him is to go out person by person and you know, talk about things like the economy. Is inflation better now? You've got the hardcore megas who will tell you everything's perfect since Donald Trump came into office and inflation is gone, but most people are feeling the bite of it. Go out and just swamp them.
There you go. Trevi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. All right, it is 15 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go, Zomers. This or that, then of course, the choice is yours. You can get with this or you can get with that. Time once again for What's Worse. No prize money giveaway, no lovely prizes involved, simply your chance to have your voice heard across all 10 news talk sports stations in the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin. We are here in La Crosse at the Black River Beach Neighborhood Center. I'm feeling hungry, Trigvi, after the show here. I never eat a big lunch, so I eat after the show. And so today's category, timely indeed, as Mike Lucas is fond of saying. All right, here we go. Today's category. What's worse, restaurants that don't have waffle fries or restaurants that only have waffle fries? 855-752-4842. 752-4842. Try it one more time. 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, go to your Apple or Android device and put in Civic, C-I-V-I-C Media. It'll pop up. It takes less than a minute to download. It is free. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal, the Civic Media app. All right, Trigvi, restaurants that don't have waffle fries or restaurants that only have waffle fries. What's worse?
Only have waffle fries. They're the kind of places that have hamburgers with fried eggs on them.
You don't enjoy a hamburger with a fried egg?
I don't eat eggs.
That, oh my gosh, that's right. I forgot.
And waffle fries. Yeah, that's what waffle fries say to me. Kind of place that would put a egg on your hamburger. I'm a simple man, Todd.
I know you are.
French fries to look like French fries.
But you're not a freedom fry kind of guy.
No, I'm fine calling them French fries.
Good. Good. What's worse, restaurants that don't have waffle fries or restaurants that only have waffle fries? 855-752-4842 or text us on the Civic Media app. We'll come back, answer those important questions and more. We are live on location in La Crosse at Black River Beach Neighborhood Center on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We've been explaining the basics of fair redistricting and unfair gerrymandering this week. Who does the redistricting, and how can that encourage fair maps and curb partisan and racial gerrymandering? In the majority of states, partisan legislative subcommittees draw redistricting maps. Because redistricting is so sophisticated and data-intensive, legislators often hire outside contractors and, all too often, data specialists from the majority party's national headquarters. In some states, advisory commissions are appointed by the governor and leaders of both parties. Sometimes it's all politicians, or in the case of Virginia and New York, a mix of political appointees and citizens. Such commissions can make map recommendations, but those recommendations are subject to change and often ignored by the legislature. For fair and competitive maps, constitutionally mandated independent citizen redistricting commissions in Alaska, Arizona, California, Colorado, Idaho, Michigan, and Montana have had the most success. Citizens registered as Democrats, Republicans, and unaffiliated voters are usually appointed in equal numbers and are required to follow redistricting best practices, including public input. In some cases, such commissions have unwound decades of rigged maps, which is why anti-voter politicians work so hard to stop them. We have details on all these redistricting models at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
We are the National Park Foundation. And together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're live on location in La Crosse, Wisconsin, on the banks of the Black River at Black River Beach Neighborhood Center, right in the midst of cicada mating season. You can hear. Is it coming through the mics, Zommers?
Most definitely.
Most definitely. He said, I'm sorry. I apologize. You know, of all the, you think when you go on the road, you think, well, you got to have electricity. And we travel with the battery pack as well as we have electricity here at this neighborhood center. And then you got to have open sky for the satellite. We got that. In my things to check off, now I'm going to have to add, is it cicada mating season where we're going?
I mean, there's not much you can do about that. And it's not, yeah. It's mildly annoying,
you know.
So.
We're surrounded by horny cicadas. What can we say? All right, what's worse? Restaurants that don't have waffle fries or restaurants that only have waffle fries? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. And you can text us on the Civic Media app. Robert in McFarland, listening on WMDX, says, I can't remember the last time I was offered waffle fries. I was fairly recently, somewhere maybe when Jane and Greg and I were did a road trip, one of the restaurants had that as an option, as an option. What else do we have here? Linda, listening in Middleton on WMDX, says only having waffle fries is worse. I prefer chips, no fries. Now, Zomers, if you had that, when you go in, and I'm not talking like, you know, Frito-Lay or whatever. I'm talking when you go in and the place makes their own
chips. Yeah, when they have like their own kettle chips, those are very good.
Oh, yeah. Those are fantastic. Agreed. Megan in Sun Prairie, listening on WMDX, says good fries are not defined by their cut.
Agreed.
But a sad fry is usually an indicator of a bad restaurant. Oh, okay. Very good. Matt, listening in Richland Center, one of our great UPS drivers there, says that only waffle fries is worse. Any fries are overrated and only ordered by people who still eat ketchup. Grown up and order the cheese curds. Grow up and order the cheese curds. Now, look. Now, Matt, you know how much I appreciate your listenership. I respectfully disagree. Some of the best fries that I've ever had and continue to have, if you're in Madison, Matt, go to Dottie's Dumpling Dowry on campus. On you been there for summers or no?
I have not.
Oh, geez. We got to go there for lunch. Dottie's Dumpling Dowry on Francis Street on campus. Order yourself a burger and the fries. They're hand-cut fries made from fresh taters, spuds, right there. They're fantastic. And also, I'm not going to get any argument for me. I love a good cheese curd, but I don't think that every fry is terrible.
Yeah, they're different things. And you know, I love potatoes, and fries are potatoes, believe it or not. So I love them as well. You don't necessarily need ketchup for fries to be good. You can either do different sauces,
no,
or depending on how they're seasoned, you might not need any.
But also, I'm just going to say it, I'm a brand kind of guy when it comes to ketchup. I want the Heinz. I want the Heinz ketchup. I don't want a Sure-Fine or anything like that. Because there's a difference. There's a difference. What's worse, restaurants that don't have waffle fries and restaurants that only have waffle fries? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Robert in McFarland, listening on MDX, says the Parthenon on State Street has the best fries of all time. I haven't had those in years, but I remember them being...
They're the beer-battered fries. I don't know if they're beer-battered,
they
but where they're extra crispy, they're very good.
Yeah, I agree with that. Kurt back in Madison on MDX says good fries should have malt vinegar, not ketchup. I love a good malt vinegar as well. I'm an equal opportunity fry kind of guy. what's worse, Zomer's restaurants that don't have fries, waffle fries, or ones that only have waffle fries?
You know, I think with what you said about being an equal opportunity fry kind of guy, I think I'll say this with the caveat that I love waffle fries, and I think that the texture of them and the way they can break open and have more, like the potato is more apparent, and I'm here for potatoes. I love that. But if they only have waffle fries, I mean, what about sweet potato fries? Those are amazing.
Well, good sweet potato fries, okay, as well. I'm going to go because I do like variety. You know, Tom Raisbeck, one of our old workers in the Schultz office, Raisbeck always used to say, Todd, life is all about options. Options. So I'm going to say restaurants that only have waffle fries is worse.
It looks like we have Ted and Appleton on the line.
Oh, all right, Ted and Appleton. Ted, thanks for calling in. Quickly, restaurants that don't have waffle fries or restaurants that only have waffle fries, what's worse?
Does it have to be restaurants? Could it be certain red and white convenience store that used to have waffle fries? And they don't make fries anymore.
Really?
They don't?
I didn't know that. They discontinued them?
Yeah, they don't. Yeah.
Why is that? Did you ask?
Nobody can give me an answer from the store. I don't know Don Zetlow personally, so I can't
Well, we're in La Crosse. We're a hop, skip, and a jump from the headquarters. Right? We should go over. And
while you're talking to him, tell him to bring back the jalapeno poppers.
The jalapeno poppers and the waffle fries at Quick Trip. All right, we can ask.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. My advice, Ted, next time you go to a Quick Trip and you fill up, and I love a good Quick Trip, when you go in and they say, see you next time, look at them and say, not until you get the waffle fries back.
Well, my local one knows me all too well. So,
all right. Thanks, Ted. I appreciate your listenership. Keep her between the lines there. Have a great afternoon. Thank you very much. All right. Very good. Great edition of What's Worse. We'll be back with another one tomorrow at the old headquarters in Madison. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Brian Van Hooker with a look at the reboot and the past from King of the Hill. Come on back. It's the All Ball Show on location on In La Crosse on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Farm Technology Days are underway in Bear Creek, Wisconsin this week. With new and exciting technology around every corner, don't forget to look up. That's right, new drone technology will be on display. I'm Kylie Allen for the Midwest Farm Report, and along with us today is Jeremy Williams. He's the owner of American Drone. He tells us a little bit about what folks can see at the Farm Technology Days.
What folks are going to be able to see is the brand new T60X spraying and spreading drone. This is hot off the press. It only got approved by the Federal Aviation Administration about 3 weeks ago. So this drone carries almost 16 gallons of liquid going 30 miles an hour. Every model that comes out is bigger and faster, and this is the latest and greatest one.
Jeremy Williams, the owner of American Drone, along with us. Some of our own are out at the Wisconsin Farm Technology Days today. If you see Stephanie Hoff and Pam Yonke, be sure to stop and say hi. In the meantime, keep listening here, and we'll have a look at your closing markets after this.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVets Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
I'm Kylie Allen for the Midwest Farm Report. And on the close from Chicago, cash corn closed at 379 and three quarters, down 1 3/4. New crop corn closed at 401 and a quarter, down 3/4. Cash soybeans closed down 6 at 965 and a half. New crop soybeans closed at 984 and a half, down 6 1/4. New crop wheat closed at 508 and a half, up 1/4. Class 3 milk contract is trading up 7 at 1844, while October Class 3 milk contract is trading up 5 at 1850. 40-pound block cheese closed up 2 1/4 at 180 and a quarter. Double A butter closed down 2 1/4 at 244. To stay up to date on the latest Wisconsin ag news, visit our website at MidwestFarmReport.com. And while you're there, sign up for our e-newsletter. It'll have that latest news delivered straight to your inbox every morning. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
More clouds than sunshine today, and chances for scattered drizzle. As a warm front pushes through the state, we become warm and muggy. Highs today scrape about 80 degrees, and tomorrow rise to the mid-80s. More showers and thunderstorms are expected overnight, with waves of them tomorrow, too. I'm meteorologist Brittany Rouleau. Right now, 78 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of WisconsinOlogy.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years. to let a story unfold or to find the story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome into the studio Northeast Wisconsin filmmaker Craig Kinnitt, and Northeast Wisconsin singer-songwriter DeAndre Marie performs live. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Back to the Tom Allball Show, live on location here in beautiful La Crosse, Wisconsin, on the banks of the Black River, the backwaters to the Mississippi River. We are the Black River Beach Neighborhood Center. We were here the first hour covering the Fusion Voting Seminar. Many thanks to the hosts who put this on today. Leader Ethics here in Wisconsin, led by Lee Rosh, and also the United Wisconsin folks, co-chairs Dale Schultz and Dave Mahoney. Many thanks to them as well. And to Trigby Olson. Time to lighten things up just a little bit here. And many apologies. It's only gotten worse, Somers, as the show has gone on. The cicadas in the background. I'm not sure if they enjoy some afternoon delight. If that's the height of the mating period for cicadas, but it's gotten louder as the show has gone on. Have you been able to hear that?
Yeah. When we first connected, I wasn't hearing it, and then just slowly, every segment, it's getting louder.
I'm fearful that at any moment I'm going to turn around, there's going to be a cicada right behind me looking to, well, anyway. Moving on, time once again to bring back one of our favorite people from the great folks at Cracked.com, joining us via StreamYard, one of the great reporters and writers there, Brian Van Hooker. Mr. Van Hooker, how the heck are you?
It's so hard to hear you, Todd, over the cicadas. It's nice to talk to you, too. I assume that's what you're asking.
Yes. I said you could plan for a lot of things, electricity, satellite coverage, sure. Wi-Fi, cover, so you don't get rained on, whatever. But I never considered, wow, I should check with see what the cicada mating
hard
season
to cover
is.
For biblical plagues. That's really right. Those but are the, harder.
But these are the times we live in. remind folks, it's been a while since you've been on the show. Glad to have you back. Remind folks where you're at and how you got into writing for Cracked.com, if you'd be so kind.
Yeah, I'm the senior features writer at Cracked.com. I've been there for a few years now, two or three maybe. Mm. I used to write for a place called Mel Magazine, and when they shut down, I had done a piece about the Onion, their 9/11 issue, and I knew some people who connected me over at Cracked, and it kind of just worked out, and I've been there ever since, and I do lots of, pop culture reporting, lots of some listy stuff, things like that, but also, lots of interviews, things like that. We had a big thing for King of the Hill, right now is the return of the show, so I talked to, the showrunner and a few of the stars and the writer, so, it was really, those are the kinds of things I do there.
So
lots of interviews.
It's a great segue here into King of the Hill. This is an animated series. Was it on Fox, right?
It was on Fox back in the day. Now it's on Hulu.
Oh, now it's on Hulu. So, I mean, in full disclosure, I saw maybe, I don't know, a dozen-ish full episodes, another dozen-ish partial episodes. So I'm familiar, but for people that might not remember the show, fill people in, the premise of King of the Hill, when it ran originally, and what's bringing it back.
Well, I mean, the premise is kind of there's not a huge premise to the show. It's about this guy, Hank Hill, who lives in Texas, a fictional town in Texas called Arlen, and it's just about him and his friends and his family, and this very kind of low concept show that basically could have been live action had they wanted to, but it ended up being an animated show, and it's from Mike Judge, who did Beavis and Butthead and Office Space. It was just a great show that lasted 14 seasons. It went away in, say, 2013-ish, maybe give or take, and had been gone since. And after years and years of talking about a reboot, maybe I think like 8 years when we first heard about a potential reboot, it came back, and it was great. I'm somebody who's kind of not always for these reboots and sequels and everything, just because I feel like I don't need endless amounts of the same thing. But I can tell you, for fans of the original, I'd be very surprised if they weren't happy with the new one, because it's great. It's really strong.
So is it and keep me honest here, because I don't want to bring politics too much into this, but the title character here, the main character, the patriarch of King of the Hill, he seems like he could have been kind of a borderline MAGA guy, kind of an outdoors macho dude, but also slightly self-aware enough to doubt himself as well. Is that an overreach?
I would say they specifically don't get directly into his politics in the show. It's clear, at least especially in the old version, that he is definitely a Republican. But if I were to have to categorize him anywhere where he is now, it's much more common sense, much more maybe like a Never Trumper kind of thing. It's hard to say exactly. They specifically kind of avoid that, but not in a way that feels forced. But he's definitely a kind of maybe more right than left, but also, or at least what that used to be, not so much what it is now. Yeah. Also, very much like common sense, do the right thing, don't be mean to people. So in a way that was like very common sense back then feels a little bit more partisan now, which seems strange.
Yeah, I mean, it is strange. We're talking with Brian Van Hooker, senior features writer at Cracked.com, about his articles here. All right, Van Hooker, let's get into the first one here. Hank Hill's best grilling-related burns on King of the Hill.
Well, I mean, Hank Hill is a character who is, like, his job is, or at least back in the original take, he's retired in the new version. He was a seller of propane and propane accessories. He was very fervently in favor of propane and no other source of heat for grilling. This one article I did was just a collection of him throwing shade at other sources of cooking. A big one is charcoal. There's an episode of the show where his family members secretly get hooked on charcoal and start like eating char grilled meats behind his back, and he's very upset about it. He feels betrayed.
All right, here we go.
You brought charcoal into our house.
I didn't know what it was. Luann asked me to hold it for her. I thought it was drugs.
There's soot under my boy's nails. You don't get that from a clean-burning fuel.
You don't get the rich, smoky flavor either.
Shut your mouth. Now, we're going to sit here and pray.
Hank Hill from King of the Hill here on Charcoal. Now, this is funny to me in particular, because last night I had to go down to beautiful Monroe, Wisconsin, and friends of mine went together, and we bought a quarter steer and a quarter hog, and we had to go to Hosley Meats and pick up the meat, and then we took it to Kurt and Forsey's big freezer, and Kurt says, let's grill a fresh burger, and he has a gas grill, but he's back into charcoal. And he has a tank of propane and like a flamethrower. I guess he used it on weeds, and he fired that son of a gun up and just, and the thing was on fire and ready to go in like 3 minutes. It was crazy. Oh, wow. And I hadn't had a charcoal burger in years. And to the point of the character there, it does taste better.
I gotta say, I really like, I'm fine with both. But, I mean, I do really love a good charcoal burger. Like, something that's just a little bit burnt. I really do love that. That flavor's great. Yeah.
All right, next item here. Looking at...
I was going to skip ahead. There was a great episode of the show that also featured George Foreman, the late George Foreman, where he had a guest appearance in the show where Hank kind of was polite, but also made clear that he didn't take George Foreman's grills all that seriously. That was another one where he kind of pokes fun at George Foreman's grill. Anyway, I'll let you guys play the clip.
All right, here's King of the Hill on the George Foreman grill.
How'd you feel about carrying my grill in your shop?
Oh, sorry. We have a strict policy about that. No novelty grills.
Novelty grill?
Yeah, you know, no offense, but your grill is kind of like an iron.
You calling my grill an iron? I've been hit below the belt before, but nothing like this.
I think it's a great product for dieters or little girls who want to play barbecue, but you can't compare it to a propane-powered grill.
Fights on!
What? No.
I said fights on. What's the matter? Smelling all that propane cause you brain damage? That's what it does, you know.
No, that is not accurate. Those studies were all done on sick monkeys. And at least my grill isn't sold in housewares.
Thank you. And was that actually the late, great George Foreman doing his
that
own
vocal?
That was
him. You got to give him some love for like being so willing to poke fun of himself, because that was definitely him.
Well, and that was the thing about George Foreman is, I mean, he used to go on Letterman all the time, and he was a salesman. It didn't matter whether it was self-deprecating. Hey, if it meant selling more of his product, he'd do it, right?
Oh, yeah. He was a character, for sure. He was very good-spirited in that one, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was also an episode where he pokes fun at Mesquite with his neighbor. I'll just leave that one to Hank, but that one's very funny, too.
All right, very good. Here's Hank Hill on Mesquite grilling.
Howdy, Con.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
Here you go. I thought you might enjoy 7.5 gallons of pure premium propane.
Are you kidding? No, I cook with mesquite. Give meat nice taste of wood.
And I cook with propane. Gives meat nice taste of meat.
Thank you. Very opinionated on his grilling there.
Yeah, and then there's another example of this. And this is something I sincerely agree with on whether or not it's okay to have a burger well done, or a steak well done for that matter. Yeah. So this was Hank's take on that, which of course, obviously, it's not okay. Like, that's, you're ruining it. So
here we go. Anyway. Hank Hill on burgers. Here we are.
Firm, but with a little give. Yep, these are medium rare.
What if somebody wants theirs well done?
We ask them politely yet firmly to leave.
That's really funny. I'm somebody who does not like my meat well done, nor my burgers. But anyway, I like a medium rare. That's a good way to, because then you can taste the flavor of the meat. Otherwise, it's
medium
charcoal.
Rare everything pretty much.
Yeah, I'm totally well chicken though. You want to make sure that's you don't want pink in the middle of your chicken.
Yeah. My bacon, I prefer well done as well.
Right, exactly. What else we got? Any more on this particular story, Brian Van Hooker?
No. If you want to know more about, Hank, that's sort of him in a nutshell. Is his love for propane is his, like, it's a running joke throughout the series, but it's very sincere with the character, his love for propane.
Right. So. And who doesn't? And it is much cleaner and easier to do. You just fire up the old propane grill and you're set to go. Brian Van Hooker of Cracked.com, a senior feature writer there at Cracked. I'm going to come back here in a minute and talk about the other article, Brian. Four times King of the Hill's Dale Gribble was mostly right about a conspiracy theory. Now, is this from the original show, or is this new, something new in the new show?
From the original show, yeah.
Of the original show. All right. All right, that's fine. I guess, a couple minutes yet, Zomer? Should we start this?
We have a minute.
Have a minute. All right. Well, we'll see. Well, let's save it, Brian Van Hooker, because we want to tease forward. That's what they tell me. They want more teasing forward. So you know, I'm not sure if I need to unbutton my top button.
Tease forward on a 30-year-old show.
look into the camera and say, we're teasing you for Hank Hill.
Sure.
Come on back. It's cicada. By the way, the cicadas have suddenly gone quiet. I'm not sure if this is like their afterglow time or what.
They're responding to your teasing.
Yes. Once I start teasing, the cicadas shut up. Come on back. We'll wrap up the show with Brian Van Hooker live from Black River Beach Neighborhood Center on the banks of the Black River in La Crosse, Wisconsin, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Matt Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Your car steering wheel could be a ticking time bomb. At least 24 people have died and many more injured because their airbags fired shrapnel at them upon inflating. Tens of millions of cars have been recalled. If you suffered cuts that required stitches, hearing or vision loss, or broken bones, please contact us today. You could be owed money for medical bills and other damages.
Morgan & Morgan. Visit us at badairbags.com for an office near you. Prior results do not guarantee a similar outcome.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for attorney general, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, and state treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One of the most basic things that a free people could want, not going bankrupt because of healthcare. If it sounds like I'm banging my head against the microphone, yeah. It's that we are having this discussion about having to hold benefits for people because they didn't have proper health insurance coverage, because they're threatened with bankruptcy, which again happens in no other developed country in the world.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Here's my gripe. MTV made it possible for really subpar performers to become stars. Madonna would never have been a star if it hadn't been for MTV and her grinding her way across the floor in a wedding dress.
See, that's where I think your gripe isn't with MTV. I think your gripe is with Madonna grinding on MTV.
Thank you, Matt from Richland Center. How dare you, Jane?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back to the Tattle Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're live on location in beautiful La Crosse, Wisconsin, on the banks of the Black River, the backwaters of the Ole Miss, as Chevy Chase called it in vacation. The Ole Miss. Rusty, look at that. The Black River Beach Neighborhood Center here in beautiful La Crosse, Wisconsin. Many thanks to them for their hospitality. And also many thanks to Pat Kreitlow for being on the show today. Pat Kreitlow every morning from 6 until 9 on Mornings with Trygve Olson. No, it's Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, as it turns out. Trygve Olson, though, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Many thanks for him as well. Lee Roche from a Leader Ethics. One of the hosts for today's Fusion Voting Seminar, also former president of Western Wisconsin Technical College. Dale Schultz, former Republican Senate Majority Leader, co-chair of United Wisconsin, also a part of today's forum. And, of course, the aforementioned, the wonderful, the talented Mr. Brian Van Hooker, senior features writer for Cracked.com. Coming up at the top of the hour, CBS or ABC News, depending upon which station you're listening to. Weather update, a check of sports with the great sports sports reporter Mike Clemens, and then another edition of the Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon from 2 until 4, followed by Pete Schwabba and Nightlight. All right, Brian Van Hooker, talking King of the Hill, the series, highly acclaimed animated series, very successful back in the 2000s, back for another run, this time on Hulu. But back to the original series, you have this article entitled Four Times King of the Hill's Dale Gribble Was Mostly Right About a Conspiracy Theory. As they say, do tell, Brian Van Hooker.
So back, the character of Dale is a kind of crazy conspiracy theory guy. In the new show, they kind of took a little time to figure him out because he's basically like, you know, the culture from where the show was started in the late 90s and early 2000s, the culture's become much more conspiracy theory oriented. So they kind of toned down Dale a little bit by necessity because you couldn't have him, you know, storming the Capitol or anything. So they really kind of, but if you look back, in preparation for the show's re-release, we did a lot of looking back at the classic series, and I did some research on some of Dale's biggest conspiracy theories. I want to mention too, a King of the Hill podcast helped me with this one. This guy's podcast called Bois, a King of the Hill podcast, that does interviews and a whole bunch of other stuff. Good guys. Mm-hmm. And, anyway, did some research on Dale's crazy conspiracy theories and which ones kind of ended up being true, if only by virtue of technology having advanced and us becoming more and more monitored. So anyway, here's one. It's about weather control. This is one of Dale's conspiracy theories.
All right, here we are.
Hey, I know what's wrong with your truck. It's your quote-unquote pollution controls. I heard on talk radio you don't even need them. They're just an egghead government plot.
How is cutting down on pollution a government plot, Dale?
Open up your eyes, man. They're trying to control global warming. Get it? Global.
So what?
That's code for UN commissars telling Americans what temperature it's going to be in our outdoors. I say let the world warm up. See what Boutros golly golly thinks about that. We'll grow oranges in Alaska.
Dale, you giblet head. We live in Texas. It's already 110 in the summer, and if it gets 1 degree hotter, I'm going to kick your ass.
From King of the Hill. Listening to that, I mean, it's funny, but also it's funny because much like a lot of people that write comedy, satire, whatever, I mean, now that just seems like a conversation at the coffee shop.
Yeah, it's basically, it's a little antiquated in the idea that this would just be purely for humor and not just the normal way people talk. Although, to be honest, as crazy as it sounds, because weather control seems nuts to me, I mean, there was that story not that long ago saying that there was this I forget the name of it. Political reported out that there was this company in California that was like going to test this cloud creation thing, which again seems science fiction crazy to me, but apparently there's real efforts to.
What is it called? Seed clouding or cloud seeding?
I don't know. I don't understand it. Like, sounds like something Dale would say to me.
Right, exactly. All right, Brian Van Hooker from Crack.com. Next clip here.
I'm assuming this is going to be the last one.
Yeah, we probably only
The last one, yeah.
I was going to skip ahead to one called The Beast, because this basically describes our entire existence now. But back in 97 or whenever this aired, it seemed ridiculous. So anyway.
All right, here's The Beast clip from King of the Hill.
Well, I'm not going to let my credit and good name be done in by a damn computer error.
Computers don't make errors. What they do on purpose. By now, your name and particulars have been fed into every laptop, desktop, mainframe, and supermarket scanner that collectively make up the global information conspiracy, otherwise known as The Beast.
Dale, I'm having a problem with one videotape. Not some kind of high-tech boogeyman.
You just be careful. Computers have already beaten the communists at chess. Next thing you know, they'll be beating humans.
again, Brian Van Hooker, that could be a conversation at your local rally.
But still, I mean, it's pretty much common knowledge at this point that we're being monitored at all times via the internet.
Well, yeah,
from our
I know.
Alexa and everything else, so.
I just are you on TikTok?
No, thankfully I've avoided that one.
Yeah. See, I have been up until about 2 weeks ago, and they said, no, you got to get on TikTok. So now I'm on TikTok, and now I feel like I'm just – the person helped me set it up, I said, well, now the Chinese are going to know everything about me. And he looked at me and said, they already do.
Sure. But now they get to see Todd's TikTok dances, so that's better.
There ain't much there, I can tell you that. What's always there is great writing, great insight. You can find it at crack.com. Look for Brian Van Hooker's work there. He is the senior features writer at crack.com. Brian Van Hooker, thank you very much. We really appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Always a pleasure. All right, everybody, great show today. We appreciate the Black River Beach Neighborhood Center for being our host today, and Fusion Voting, also United Wisconsin and Leader Ethics. Many thanks to Chris Andrews for helping set it up as well. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll be back at the World Headquarters in Madison tomorrow. Stay safe, everybody. See you then. And what about the cicadas?
Banging on your drum, and they will hear you.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Five soldiers were shot and wounded today at Fort Stewart in Georgia. The alleged gunman, an Army sergeant.
We have identified the alleged shooter as Sergeant Cornelius Radford, an automated logistics sergeant assigned to 2nd Brigade Combat Team.
General John Lubas.
Soldiers in the area that witnessed the shooting immediately and without hesitation tackled the soldier, subdued him, that allowed law enforcement to then take him into custody.
He joined the Army in 2018 and has no deployments.
Sergeant Radford has been interviewed by the Army Criminal Investigation Division and is currently in pretrial confinement, awaiting a charging decision by the Office of the Special Trial Counsel. Lubas.